Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome back to Supergirl TV Talk, the podcast devoted to the hit CBS show Supergirl. I'm Frank, and with me, as always, is my super fast friend, Tim.
Boom! I just came and went back to the Grand Canyon.
Whoa.
Do you want me to do it again?
Boom! You truly are faster than a speeding bullet.
I am.
How's it going?
I'm pretty tired, actually. I didn't eat my 10,000 calories today.
Oh, you're going to need to get on that.
Yeah, well, you know, I only move quickly for food, so it's kind of redundant when you have to eat that many calories a day.
Yeah, that's kind of hard.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
My hip also hurts from running that much.
Mm,
yeah.
You're getting old.
I am getting old.
Oh, man. How great was this week's episode, man?
It was fantastic.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
It was a blast. It was so much fun. I can't wait to talk about it more in depth. But before we do, we got to open up the mailbag.
Open up the mailbag.
Get to dive in. Listen to talk to some.
Oh, hello, Mailman Smith. How are you today?
Hi there.
How was Washington?
Is there a? Is there?
I'm gonna write these letters. I'm gonna stay right here. I'm gonna go through all of them. Whatever he says.
Sounds like Bernie Sanders.
It does. Oh my God, it does. Stop yelling at me, yeah. Jimmy Stewart,
yeah.
Or Bernie Sanders. I can't tell.
Oh my gosh. We have an email here all the way from the other side of the planet. It says, "Hi, Supergirl TV Talk. My name is Mashid. I am from Iran. I'm a huge fan of the show. Love every bit of its awesome episodes, even if they have some small mistakes here and there. Just want to let you know that even here in Iran, Supergirl has its own numerous super fans. And we like to support the show in any way we can. I wish I could tell the cast myself that I praise each and every one of them, especially Melissa Benoist. She's inspired me in many different ways. I can see that they are truly putting all they have into their characters. It's so hard waiting a whole week for each episode to come. I look forward to your podcast. Keep up the good job." Thank you very much. So cool to hear from someone all the way around the world.
It is.
Yeah.
What was that accent you just did?
Like
all the way around the world.
Around the world.
Yeah.
It was Liverpool, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Everyone from Liverpool is shaking their arms at you. Not their hands, their whole arms. Like,
like those inflatable.
Yeah, exactly. Just all of Liverpool. Just moving their arms up and down.
And what sound are they making? Okay, cool.
It's kind of the Zoidberg sound.
A little bit, yeah.
Anyway. It's fine.
Oh, my God. Good news, everyone.
Good news, everyone. We have a sponsor. Yeah.
We will in a minute.
Yeah.
I actually want to read one more email first. It comes from Steven. He goes, "Thanks for reading part of my email in an earlier podcast, Truth, Justice, and the American Way. Falling was a really good episode. A few things caught my attention. First, when the DEO went out to apprehend Supergirl, why didn't they use the kryptonite darts? We saw this in the very first episode. The DEO made it clear they could take down Supergirl anytime they wanted to."
That's true.
And that was the perfect time to use them, so why didn't they?
Maybe they thought, maybe they destroyed them all once.
I love when Tim goes into his little headcanon thing where he's like,
"Maybe
let's make up a reason."
Well, it's not shown, so why not?
No, I don't know. I'm fine leaving with the, I don't know.
I'm going to say maybe they destroyed them all once she started working for them.
Okay.
You know, maybe no one on the DEO is that smart.
That I will agree with.
Maybe the real answer.
That part I would actually agree with. So also, doesn't the DEO know more than anyone that bullets don't work against Supergirl or any Kryptonian? Like, why were they trying to shoot her?
I think it's just a reflex. Like, I have this weapon, and I guess I'll try to use it because maybe off chance that
it's all
it
can
will
do.
Work. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
We know that they have Kryptonite bullets, so they use them against Bizarro,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't use them against her. And then there's the kryptonite, you know, blade, the one that Alex used against Astra.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what he's saying is there's a ton of kryptonite weapons, you know, a kryptonite room even.
That's true. All those weapons, I think, also are, all of those weapons are lethal.
Yes.
And I don't think they don't want to kill her. So,
okay.
you know, they want to subdue her. So
the bullets wouldn't necessarily be lethal and the darts wouldn't be lethal either. But I see your point about, like, the sword and other stuff. Yes, that makes sense. He also says that Melissa's acting was really good. She played the bad girl so perfectly, played the remorse angle really well.
Mm-hmm.
Great scene with Cat and Supergirl at the end of the balcony.
Yep.
You can see here how the hero creates her villains. Cat firing Siobhan was definitely, you know, like, it worked out in just the right way. And you can see the storyline is being done so well, and Kara is sort of creating Silver Banshee.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really cool. The scene with the little girl throwing away the Supergirl costume.
So sad.
Heartbreaking. Yeah. So good stuff all around. Thank you, Stephen, for writing in again. Always good to hear from you. Always good to hear from all of you guys. Write into us, supergirltvtalk@gmail.com. And we love to hear from you and read your emails on the show. So please keep it up. Before we move on to the recap of this week's episode, I want to talk really quickly about good friends of ours over at supergirl.tv. These guys are the professionals at bringing us all the latest Supergirl news, all the info on upcoming episodes, spoilers, videos, pictures, everything you could want to know as a fan. And the best part is that they are fans themselves. It is by fans for fans. It's a labor of love. They do it because they want to and because they love it. They love the show as much as you and I do. And that's what they're here for. Great recaps every week. You know, all the different appearances of the cast, on different TV talk shows and everything. If you want to make sure you see where Melissa Benoist has been lately, for instance, she was on Yahoo, recently and was asked 9 questions. They have the video there for you, and a little recap of it. So all the best stuff about Supergirl is here at supergirl.tv. Check them out. Follow them on Twitter at Supergirl TV site. It really is the place to be if you're a Supergirl fan the way we are and you want to stay on top of things. So thank you very much to supergirl.tv for sponsoring Supergirl TV Talk. So you have a little red book there.
I do. Is it time?
I think it's time.
It's time.
The time has come. Wow. It's like that birthday card you gave me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know how to record a message, so I just hawed in it.
It's awkward.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. You like it. It's on your fridge.
All right.
Supergirl, episode 18, entitled World's Finest. Was that the original title of this episode?
I thought it was. Wasn't it Worlds Apart?
No, it's World's
originally,
Finest.
Yeah, no.
It might have been Worlds Apart. I thought it was The Fastest Person Alive originally.
Oh, you know, you may be right.
Either way, doesn't matter. It's called World's Finest. I was happy with this. I want to do a quick shout. I usually don't say who directs each show.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But this one was directed by Nick Gomez, who is from Somerville, which is roughly a half an hour from where we are right now.
Yeah.
So I just wanted... I just wanted to shout out to a local Bostonian.
Very cool.
That is quite fun for me.
Fun fact.
Not so much. It is fun for you, but you.
I'm even closer to Somerville than you are.
Yeah, that's true. But you're not from here.
I'm not.
You're
a
foreigner.
I don't claim to be.
In a foreign
stranger
land.
In a strange land.
That's right.
Yes.
Good.
That's me.
Yes. Just like Barry.
Yeah.
All right.
And Supergirl.
And Supergirl. So many. Hold on.
If her name is Kara, do we have to call him Bari? Is that how this works?
No.
Oh.
I'm not doing that.
All right.
So anyway, so Bari shows up. Bari. Shut up. So does that mean that if she goes there, is she Kara? Because
yeah,
it's Barry?
Yeah, it's exactly. That's... Earth 3, it's Kara and Bari.
But it's cat, not caught. So
grammar's hard. You wouldn't understand.
No, you're right. It's a very complicated matter.
It's only when there's R's.
It's filled with many lines moving in diagonals and straights. Over letters.
A before R. Pronounce it like bar.
Right.
A before
what
T.
What is Y ever a vowel? Remember that?
Like
A-E-Y-O-U and sometimes Y. Shut up. No.
No, yeah, it is sometimes.
Yeah, I know. It's just dumb.
Like in Bari.
Like in Bari.
it's a vowel there.
It's dumb. Sometimes Y. But they don't tell you, but when you learn that little thing,
no.
They don't tell you when it's a sometimes.
It's true.
So they just leave you guessing in the ether forever about when Y is going to be used.
It's so
sometimes.
True. They're very vague on that.
It's like when you should use well instead of good. They're just like, oh no, this is a sentence you should well for. That's it. I'm not going to tell you why.
As Tracy Jordan,
not a vowel.
As Tracy Jordan said, Superman does good. You're doing well.
Yeah. You got to work on your grammar, son.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the pilot episode of that show.
Yes, I believe it is.
Anyway, so I want to start with the recap of last week's show for this week's show because we were talking last week about Siobhan falling off the roof and she was so drunk that she fell off the roof. Not so.
Not so.
I noticed this time her heel broke.
Mm-hmm.
I did not notice that last time.
Yeah.
And that it was a
clumsy broken heel.
I don't think that's her fault that her heel broke. Maybe it is. Maybe she needs to buy better shoes.
Sorry, I mansplained.
Which she did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eventually. And makeup and everything.
That's right. Yeah, we'll get there. So Kara is having some, people are still not trusting her.
Yeah.
Even though it's been a few episodes. Well, no, it's not been a few episodes.
It's been a couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm. Since she went cuckoo on the Red K, and I'm cuckoo for Red K. It's not as good. Something missing. Cuckoo for Red K puffs. No, it's not the same. Nope.
Keep workshopping that.
So she's struggling with herself a bit, and it seems like she's even going so far out of her way to do as much good as she can. But the people are fickle. People will turn on you on a dime.
Yeah. It's hard to gain back trust after you lose it, right?
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
So that's what she's struggling with.
Yeah. I mean, she built that IKEA table and that didn't work.
Which, and let me say, that is a real, like spending time building IKEA furniture like that, you deserve a medal for
you're
that.
You're a friend.
Yeah.
You're a friend to the people.
You're a true
supergirl.
Give her the key to the city.
Yes, that's right. But make it out of Dwarf Star so she's the only one that can lift it.
Exactly.
Good. See?
I love how Siobhan is at the DEO being treated. And like it's a clinic.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, yeah, I came in. Okay, does my copay cover this or what? How does this work?
You know, you just drew some blood, but I'm just going home now.
So, like, is the blood work covered or is that like a.
Well, she leaves before she even offers to pay. Like, really? So.
But, like, you're bringing a civilian into the DEO to get her tested, and she's, like, not, like, blindfolded or anything. She's just sort of, like, there seeing all their secrets. Yeah. Like,
I want to say that Hank. Would not have approved of that.
Hank Henshaw ran a tight ship around that place, right?
No, he didn't. But he ran a little bit of a tighter ship than
Lucy Lane.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that later. We'll go in order. But, Hank, well, it's also Lucy's, like, second day on the job.
It's true.
So anyway, she's there. We heard that doctor that looks after her is Dr. Hamilton. That strikes
you
funny?
Yes, a female Dr. Hamilton.
Yeah, but do you think that is Amelia Hamilton?
Ooh.
You know.
I was going to say like Amy Hamilton or something. I like that. Amelia
Hamilton, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Supergirl, feel free to use that.
Yeah.
My number is,
yeah.
If you want to call me for my...
Yeah, supergirltvtalk@gmail.com.
You want to pay me for my writing credit? yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it seems, it's one of those things where if you're in the world of Supergirl or DC Comics or whatever, and mm-hmm. Dr. Hamilton is a known figure, then do you use, and it's either supposed to be a gender-bent Emil Hamilton, Superman's friend from Star Labs, sometimes enemy, or are you just using that name? But it bothers me when it's just using the name. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not putting it to any good use, just sort of like wasting the name.
There are plenty of names out there that you could use. For instance, my name is Tim. My name has never been on that show.
Yeah.
Could have been Dr. Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been real happy.
I would love to have like a Frank and Tim on the show at some point. You know, that'd be...
Yeah, I'm... Keep dreaming. Yeah, keep dreaming. I think it would weird me out if...
Weird me out in a good way.
It would weird me out. I would... Like, if you were watching the show and they... And she, like, stops to get a cup of coffee, and there are just two people behind. She's like, oh, Frank and Tim, I didn't see you there. I'd be like, oh, my God. No.
I'd be immediately firing off emails, be like, is that about us, or what's going on?
Yeah. Am I
just presumptuous?
There's only one Frank and Tim in the world.
There can only be
and
one.
And it's that guy who owns Outback Steakhouse.
That guy.
No, I'm sure. Something like that. Okay, so... It's an open door at the DEO.
Sure.
Now.
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently. And we'll see that again later, but it is, we thought it was a revolving door before, and now I think they took the door off its hinges.
There's no door.
And the DEO is for aliens, right? And so I guess their first assumption is that she's an alien, because they don't really have science-based villains on this world. It's more... Well, no, they really do with Reactron and Livewire. And they have all because, I mean, Siobhan is cursed by a... By an Irish banshee.
Isn't she usually Scottish? Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that she's Irish. Yeah. So it's kind of doing the whole range. But just close the door. Like, what are you doing? Secret government organization. So We also see Kat getting a bit into Kara's personal life in a kind of a indirect cupcakey way, right?
Using cupcakes as a metaphor for romance?
I'm trying to make a parallel between these cupcakes and your non-existent love life.
Yes.
So, listen, but my question is Kat going to eat that whole box? Because she's like, no, these are mine.
And I mean, until Barry comes along and needs 10,000 calories, maybe.
That's a missing scene where Barry steals her cupcakes. Like, he definitely stole that ice cream.
Or Lex Luthor steals 40 cakes.
And that is terrible.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. That's as many as 4 tens. And that's terrible.
That's a cutscene from Batman v Superman.
Lex Luthor just stealing. That Lex Luthor would steal 40 cakes.
He would.
That is a Lex Luthor I would absolutely believe running away with 40 cakes.
Aw, man, those are Granny's Peach Tea cupcakes. Cakes.
Ew. So, Siobhan leaves the DEO, but she kind of peers into Lucy interrogating Livewire, right?
Yes.
Which, to me, is, like, Lucy being there in the DEO... Siobhan being there and being brought for testing makes sense because that's the organization that we have on this show to do those things. But doors being open while prisoners are being interrogated.
Public interrogation.
Terrible. Like, because even there are levels of security. This is shoddy.
Yeah. That was a little contrived, I have to say.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It was definitely contrived.
Very, like... Lucy,
yeah,
you're better than this.
Come on, you can.
Yeah, you're better than this.
I know you're just a lawyer, but really,
don't bang on the lawyers.
But like, she's not a special agent. You know what I mean? She's not a secret agent. She hasn't been a secret agent before. This is her. She's suddenly the head of all the secret agents, and she's never been a secret agent.
Right.
She's a lawyer.
Right.
So that's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
But I know you don't have experience in this, but really.
Close the door. Like, you're a lawyer. You should know that when you're talking to someone of that nature, it's a private meeting.
It's like attorney-client privilege.
Exactly. Close the door.
Yeah.
So Siobhan is getting these banshee migraines, right? And so she goes to her aunt, who tells her that the women in the family are cursed by this ancient banshee.
Did I ever mention that before?
Yeah.
You're 30 now. I can tell you this.
Yeah. It's all good. You know, it's fine. The thing... It's all very good.
I didn't want to bother you. Were doing your executive assistant thing. I didn't want to trouble you with the little details of your life being ruled by a banshee. It's fine.
Right. It's fine. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. But right now she's just suffering from these migraines.
Right.
And she sonic screams Kara because her first instinct is, you know, just like she's kind of in a haze. Like it's a migraine haze. And, you know, mm-hmm. you're not thinking correctly and all that stuff. And. She kind of shoves Wynn out of the way, so it implies that she's stronger now in a way, because she does punch Supergirl pretty hard.
That's true.
And she goes flying. So I'm assuming the Banshee gives her super strength in this.
Yes, I'm with you. Yes.
Okay, so she blasts Kara out the window, which was a really cool sequence. I really liked it.
I did too, yeah. And for the moment, I was a little like, how exactly? Like, okay, she's obviously gonna fly away. Like, how is she gonna
explain that
away?
Yep. No, boom, flash catch.
All right,
yeah.
Oh yeah, he arrives on this earth and immediately he's like, "Oh, someone's in danger. I need to help them." Like,
that's possible, but it doesn't exactly say how long he's been there before. So he could have been running around already. You know, but you're right. It is
still pretty quick.
It's very, it is happenstance more than anything, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Maybe somebody's manipulating the strings of the multiverse. Who knows? That would be fun. Anyway. So he catches her and their chemistry is leaps and bounds, I think, ahead of almost anything else on either of
anyone.
Their shows. Yeah.
It's more than anyone. On definitely on Supergirl, maybe even like except for maybe Barry and Iris over on the Flash. I like the two of them.
I do too. No, don't get me wrong, I think they have like the Flash cast on the CW has excellent chemistry.
Yeah, they do. They gel really.
Yes, they do.
They probably gel the best as any cast of any of the DC
in
the shows,
in the Berlantiverse. Versus, yeah,
I would say that they probably gel the best as a cast on the Flash. But these two, whoa,
yeah,
like instantly. No pun intended, like electric chemistry, like whoa,
yep, instantly. Were they ever? They didn't share screen time on Glee. did they?
My understanding is no.
Yeah, she came on a couple of seasons after him.
I actually, I saw, like, I don't remember if it was Entertainment Tonight or one of those shows, right before Supergirl aired, and they did say, Grant Gustin did say that they never had shared a scene.
Okay.
And I heard someone else say that I don't think they were even on the same season.
No, I definitely know they weren't on the same season. Okay. But, you know, sometimes characters come back and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So he's wearing that, you know, thing on his chest.
Yeah. Do you remember that from
the no, from, I mean, we're recording on Tuesday and the Flash is on it, so maybe it'll appear on tonight. My understanding is that it does not connect to his show at all.
That was my thinking as well. So, I figured if they were going to do that, they would have teased it last week in The Flash or mentioned, you know.
Right. Well, last week in The Flash, they talk about he needs to go faster all this stuff. So they're testing all that. So I would assume what's on his chest is just a tracker of some kind. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe something that helps him vibrate at a certain thing, which is how he gets to the speed he gets to travel between. I did like that. That he didn't need the treadmill to travel, because traditionally it's not wormholes or anything like that created by an outside source. He just is fast enough to vibrate at the other frequency to end up on another Earth. Mm-hmm. That goes all the way back to the '50s. So I was glad just to see it's not important to the story. What is important is that they are there having a good time, you know, Barry, his usual chipper self.
Yes. And it was just fun to watch. Like, every minute they were on the screen together was just fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially since Barry has no problem revealing his secret identity to anybody.
None.
He's like, oh, well, I guess I'm on another Earth, so it doesn't matter. You know,
it's not like I just found out that there is a very good likelihood that there's another Barry Allen here or anything. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you who I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm Barry Allen.
Well, he did rattle off the names and he said Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Adam.
No,
girl.
It's true.
You know,
it's true.
Zoom. Yeah.
But just like, so like maybe on this Earth, there is a Barry Allen out there who is not a superhero. Maybe there's an Oliver Queen who's not a superhero. Maybe there's a Dinah Lance who's not a
superhero.
That's
right. Yeah. Well, before we continue, there's going to be some minor spoilers for The Flash, just talking about his characterization and where he comes from, you know, and all that. So, but because he's already been to at least one Earth on his show, showing up on, let's say, Earth 3, for lack for anything else.
I have
seen
it referred to as Earth 3 online. I don't know if that's official or not, but
Didn't. But I mean, if his is the first in this little universe, then it stands to reason that when they go to Earth 2, this is the third one.
The third
when she brings Barry back to her little group inside the room that never gets used, they really need to paint those walls.
Seriously, it's
really bothering me. Just take a Friday night, guys. Bring the Chinese food there if you need to.
Is it that hard?
She's fast. You could do it by yourself in 5 seconds.
Paint
you could
party.
Paint that room. Yeah. Just paint that room. I think when she says, oh, this is Barry, he's from another Earth, his face, which is you can't do on radio, is priceless to me, because he did this like shrug, like that's me.
It's a true story.
I got nothing. Yeah. But I liked Wynn's response was dead on for that, where he was just like, no questioning, nothing. Just like, cool. You know,
he's immediately like, oh, I get it, because of the science.
Because of the science. They explained in 2 seconds. I actually really liked that explanation of the science. You know, I thought it was actually more concise than how they explained it on The Flash.
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
vibrating at different frequencies, so they occupy the same space at a different time, blah, blah, blah. Basic science, no math. Here we go. Boom, done. I enjoyed that very much, because you can look up the multiverse theory online, and that is a very accurate dumbed down description of what the real scientific theory of multiple universes is.
Yes, it's a very, very simple, easy to digest version. I thought they did a pretty good job with that, actually. I also enjoyed when teasing James about his jealousy.
I agree. I want to get there in a second, because there's a couple of things before that I want to touch on. One, Barry is shocked by aliens.
Yes.
Yes, because all of his stuff is science and particle accelerator based and all
metahumans.
The metahumans and all that stuff. And, you know, because his face of, yeah, I'm from another Earth and, you know, wait, you're an alien? She does kind of the same face. She's like, yeah, I'm an alien. And cool. You know, you know, very. Know what this. Now, this is a little off, but on. This episode, I think, is the antithesis to Batman v Superman.
In a lot of ways.
Batman v Superman is about two heroes of the DC universe coming together in a giant conflict, and conflict. And this show harkens back to the Silver Age in the '50s in the comics, where instead of fighting, heroes would be like, you're a superhero? Oh my god, me too. High five, let's team up. You know, no, like, what's your agenda?
It's,
you know, I don't trust you or anything. It's all like, nope, I'm good.
It's much more Silver Agey, much more like, cool, you're good, I'm good, let's be good together.
Yeah, great, fantastic. You know, if you're not good, I'll just run really fast, you know, or, you know, but until then, I'm just going to trust you because that superhero's innately trusted. You should be innately trusting.
Yes.
Depending on the character. Of course. But these two characters are innately trusting. Even sometimes Kara to a fault. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And Barry actually is a lot of times trusting to a fault.
It's used against both of them a lot of times.
Agreed. So, you know, she flies and does all these things. So he has to prove his powers by being pressed. So he brings them all ice cream, which, you know, is the way to Kara's heart, as we know.
Yes.
Donuts or ice cream. You know, do you like donuts? Like, who doesn't like donuts? You know?
Seriously.
Did Barry steal that ice cream?
Whenever like Superman does something like that, or
he leaves
or
money, right?
Yeah. So yes, I'm kind of assuming,
except that Barry's from another Earth. So is his money any good there?
That's an interesting question. I don't know.
Yeah, because they're all marked and valued, and they have their own digits and all that stuff. So like, if he left money, good for him. But he left money from another Earth.
What if what if the money on his Earth looks the same, except the serial numbers are different? So he accidentally left counterfeit.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's
different. It's exactly the same in every way except the serial numbers.
That's kind of what I'm going on. I'm pretty sure he left counterfeit money.
He either stole or there's counterfeit involved.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He tried. Good for him.
He tried.
Good for him, you know. So they leave to go and solve some mysteries, Kara and Barry, you know, to eat 10,000 calories and all that, because she's also got to eat. And I think Wynn's reaction to James, clearly very off-put by Barry's presence, because Barry's chemistry with Kara is way better than James has with Kara, mostly because they're both very goofy. You know, James is very much the straight man, and so they have a different kind of play with one another. I think Barry and Kara is too much of the same thing together. Like, they don't make... If you're going to ship them, because I'm just going to put it out there, if you're going to ship them together, okay, let's just say they're too much of the similar kind of person to have too much of a lasting relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there needs to be some kind of juxtaposition.
Yeah, between, more conflict.
Yeah, agreed. So that's all well and fine. But jealousy, thy name is Olsen.
Jealousy, thy name. I didn't know your face muscles could make that look.
Yeah, that was... yeah. I didn't either.
I'm not making a look.
No. Jealousy, thy name is Olsen.
That was great.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Shakespeare references.
Indeed. So, Livewire has made her intentions known.
Yep.
So she has escaped and has made her intentions known. You know, or Siobhan has, as Kat says, you know, she have another ex-employee who's after me.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff. And she meets Barry Allen, who just shows up in the office, you know, and is like, I see talking now was the wrong decision.
Yes.
You know,
that was such a great line.
It was. She comments on them. A lot of commenting. Kat had a lot of things to say.
She really was like holding court. Like,
yeah,
really.
Kat had a lot of things to say in this episode. You know what the sign of a lighthearted episode is? How many Cat Grant quote of the weeks there could be?
Yes, how many contenders?
Yeah, and I had a lot of contenders.
Me too.
Most of this notebook is filled up with things she said.
Nice.
Yeah. So that is the sign of the lightest of hardest of episodes.
Yes, you're right. Where she's quippy and definitely.
where Barry tries to name himself on Earth 3, you know, and just, I would call Earth 3. I got nothing else to call it. Yeah. So, because it's just sequential order. So Barry tries to name himself, and that's no good.
Yeah.
That doesn't work, you know, and, which actually, her explanation is pretty spot on.
It like make the Flash, that sounds like something you do with a trench coat.
Yeah, it sounds like someone jumping out of an alley, yes, only wearing a trench coat, which is not my Cat Crank quote of the week, but we can say.
But it's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. So while all this is happening, you know, go solve the mystery, go. Siobhan goes to see this aunt of hers, who reveals that all the women in her family are cursed, and that she must kill to have the curse stop. You know, like, what, have you ever wondered what happened to your uncle and blah blah blah?
Yes,
kill who has wronged you. And so I think, so I just think it's in that, in nobody else in Siobhan's life ever, you know, let's say she's in her mid twenties.
Sure.
Nobody ever has wronged
just,
her.
No one's ever wronged her. And yeah, so it's never been necessary before, you know, like, oh yeah, that old thing, that curse. Yeah. I guess I forgot to mention that. Have you been wronged yet? No. Okay. Well, we'll just wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have. Oh, okay.
Cool. Oh, cool. Yeah. All right.
Have I got a solution for you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Take this leather suit.
No good. Yeah. have you ever been wronged? Well, I got the leather suits for you.
Down here at Leather Suit Warehouse.
Yeah. Get all your supervillain attire. Leather. Barry's talking to, they're talking about, you know, Kara's like, you know, I could really use your help. We have this bad guy. She's kind of made of like living lightning. Could really use your help. And Barry's like, oh, we have a rogue like that. And I think this is the first time I've ever heard him use the word rogue before.
Yeah, I think maybe. I feel like they've used it on the Flash.
Have they?
Maybe
it piqued my interest because you're seeing Barry in a different place.
I definitely noticed it too.
Yeah,
for sure. But I feel like they've, like, Cisco or someone has used it sort of
the rogues.
Yeah.
Well, because traditionally, for those who don't know, the Flash, like, technically, every superhero has a rogues gallery, right?
All their bad guys put together, that's their rogues gallery. Batman's rogues gallery is the Joker and the Riddler and the Penguin and all those guys.
Right, and so, however, the Flash refers to a group, not all of them, but a certain group of his of villains who are basically independent but a team as the rogues. They have their own moral code and like all this stuff, and they are usually working together in one capacity mm-hmm. or another, and that is the rogues. And so I thought it was very interesting to actually hear them throw that terminology around.
Yeah, it's always cool to hear that.
Barry clearly loves this Earth. Like, he's in some ways the audience is in. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know, because he is the outsider looking in at all this cool stuff that we haven't seen. Like, you know, we're seeing for the first time in the season, or, you know, with the show Supergirl, I mean. And so he's like, oh, cool, a spaceship.
Yeah.
And, you know, blah, blah, let me take a picture. Like, no.
Take a selfie? No.
Not a good idea. Let me just take off my mask again.
Yeah.
Barry. I can understand that the mask's probably not comfortable. However,
secret identities.
Why do you wear one?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, Lucy, she said, you know, who's this man? Let him in here. He's here to help us catch Livewire. All right, that's cool. We have rules, Supergirl, but he's here to help. Nah, they're more like guidelines than actual rules.
You know,
like,
rules are meant to be broken.
God, Lucy, come on. You don't close the door. You let these weird, civilians in costumes in. She's like, nah, it's fine, whatever.
I mean, anytime anyone else has come into the DEO who's been a civilian, it has been a extreme circumstance, right?
Yeah.
James and Wynn getting in there when Kara had the Black Mercy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always these extreme circumstances, or being taken prisoner, like Max Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you've got all these extreme circumstances, and then, like, in the last couple episodes, we have, like, Wynn and James just kind of showing up, like we joked about, like, they mm-hmm. got their ID badge at the front desk to come in, like, oh, welcome, here's your guest pass.
Right, yeah.
Welcome back,
here's
Mr.
your DEO sticker badge.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
like,
God.
Like, do you validate parking? Yeah. So, like, it's so.
Welcome to the DEO, parking in rear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, exactly. So it's suddenly they become a lot more relaxed over the course of the season, and now especially since Hank is off missing, it's just everything went to hell.
Yeah. So it's just like, and she was so like, we have rules. No, we don't have rules.
Yeah, she literally says, "No, guys, it's okay," and they're like, all right, cool.
No, she feels like it's like the boss who doesn't exactly want to be like the boss.
Yeah.
So she's like trying to be.
I'm supposed to say that we're enforcing this rule,
but I don't want to say it.
As soon as someone fights, like pushes back, I'll be like, all right,
fine. But you know,
fine. You can have ice cream for dinner.
Yeah. It's like, fine. Dad's gone. We can have ice cream or whatever. That's what I feel like. And I'm like, stick to your guns.
Yeah. Woman. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Your real guns. Stick to them and point them at visitors. You don't know who they are. Yeah.
At least find out who he is first.
Yeah. So it's fine. It's all good. And that convo with James and Lucy, speaking of Lucy, you know, and she's like, you know, like, obviously you love her and we were never going to work out. And everyone in the like, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was awkward.
Awkward, but it was like the breakup that they should have had, sort of. Not that she shouldn't have been angry the first time when they really broke up. Like, that was absolutely, you know, warranted.
Justified. Sure.
Yes.
Because he was a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this was like breakup part two. And it's like, well, you know. Now that I've had some time to think about it, we weren't going to work out
now
anyway.
Now that I'm the director of this clandestine government organization. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, okay, now that I think about it, you know what? Maybe we weren't like a perfect match anyway. So like, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like their second breakup, like the breaking up on good terms this time.
Yeah, I agree. And puts him in a little bit of an awkward spot, particularly since their breakup is so fresh. And especially now that I know, especially Lucy's, you know, and now that I know that she's these two people, it's just the same person, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's awkward for him. Yeah. But, you know, certainly seeing her with Barry with their amazing chemistry, you know, with their science chemistry.
Total.
No, not science chemistry. But there are some Earth constants, aren't there? You know,
yeah, like Planck's constant and theory of relativity.
Also, bad guys liking abandoned warehouses.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a constant.
I thought you meant the Three Musketeers, but okay. That works.
Also a constant. Yeah. Also, wait, you have Three Musketeers here, right? Like anywhere?
One for all.
No. Yeah. One for all. So there. Bad guys love their abandoned warehouses.
They do.
Who doesn't love their abandoned warehouses?
They're classics.
You know, Siobhan bringing her there and being like, I even got your beer, which I was trying to figure out. Like, when I saw, I was like, oh, they even have my beer. I'm like, how does she know? But I figure if she had the radio show before, maybe Siobhan listened to that radio show.
There
like,
you go.
she was a voice celebrity. And so,
That's true.
You know,
much like we're internet celebrities.
Yes, we're much like that. Much like that. Yeah. Yes, so many celebrity.
Yeah,
yeah. So Barry and Wynn are the dynamic duo of the Berlantiverse. Are they
not? Yes, yeah. I would say they are. Yes.
They will help each other out. They had great chemistry together.
They did.
Too,
they were
actually,
fun together
because I couldn't. Grant Gustin and Jeremy Jordan actually look a little similar.
They've
got that. Well, maybe it's their demeanor brings on, you know, the same kind of thing. But, you know, with the brown hair and it's kind of swooshed to the side and, like, all that fun stuff.
I liked seeing Wynn be the Cisco to Flash. You know, I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, I did, like, too.
Stepping in for Cisco for an episode.
Well, because Wynn is really supposed to be the Cisco or the Felicity, you know, to their, you know, that's the role that he fills in his own way and blah, blah, blah.
The tech guy.
The tech guy. Mm-hmm. But it was but she doesn't always need Wynn in the same way because she has the DEO.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this. Sometimes they play the same part together. You know what I mean? Or
it depends on the episode.
Or the DEO is inept
and they
bring in Wynn,
right.
You know, or something along those lines. So Barry decides, but Barry, when they go to fight, you know, and Barry decides to fight lightning with lightning because he's a scientist.
Yes. And he knows that, like, oh, you know what? Electricity is something electricity. I'm going to electrify her, and we'll see how that goes. Oh, wait, that charged her up? Oh, okay. I guess I am kind of a scientist. I should have known. Maybe figured out that might charge her up.
Lightning.
Also, I've read a comic book ever.
Right. But like, yes, when lightning combines with other lightning, it creates more lightning.
Yeah.
Right. Just... You're better than that, Barry.
Maybe he thought he could, like, short circuit her. Maybe he thought that he could, like, overpower her or
that's
something
possible.
Like that. You know?
Yeah, but not.
Trying to give
enough.
Benefit out here.
That,
maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
no, that's true. I would agree with that. But I mean, actually, all he really had to do while he was spinning around in that circle, just that time, just punch her.
Yeah, really.
Punch her in the face. Knock her out.
One punch.
You know, and then we get Silver Banshee revealed, right? Whose costume is very much a direct pull right out of the page and placed on screen.
Oh, yeah. It looked great.
It looked great. Is it weird that it's makeup?
Yes.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. It is weird. It is weird that she, like, because I'm just like, all right, time to go be evil. But first, 3 hours of makeup. Okay, let's put this.
Yeah, I'm going to put my raccoon eyes on, and I'm going to get these cool contacts. And I, like, good for her for committing to... She committed to what she is at that moment, but I did think it was strange that she, was like, oh no, I'm going to make up myself on to look like this and get a costume, where she's standing next to Livewire, who's just in a leather jacket and jeans. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Where she's like, we got to make up you all over. I'm going to stay in regular civilian clothes.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you
need a makeover, girl.
You need a costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah.
I'm not one to complain that they decided to do a direct pull from the comics.
No, and make me either.
It looked awesome.
Yeah,
she looked awesome.
She looked great.
Yeah.
I just think it's from a character perspective.
Yeah, from a story perspective.
I guess it's very strange that you'd be like, I'm going to make up my face. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Although... It is, in its own way, you know, a battle, war paint type of, you know, I want to scare you. Because whether it's makeup or her real face, somebody who takes the time to make up their face and put in creepy contacts and all that stuff is unhinged.
Now, do we think that maybe it was like the Banshee and taking her
influencing
over?
Influencing her?
Not influencing her to put on makeup, like... making her look that
way.
Oh,
see, that's what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But they, with so much talk of we've got to give you a makeover, I took
true,
it as
true,
this
true.
Is absolutely just they're like playing in the warehouse going, ooh, and then we'll make your lips kind of crack and look like that because when you scream, it's going to look really scary.
Right.
Yeah. Which it did.
Which it did.
But it worked. And like I said, it's going to make whoever she's fighting feel a little nervous because this woman went out of her way to look scary. Mm-hmm. Therefore, maybe she is scary.
Right, right,
right.
Yeah, you're right. The war paint thing is definitely on point there. I think. Yeah, yeah. And did you notice that Wynn still recognized her, like by name, like was like,
yeah,
you know, Siobhan, you don't need to do this, like all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I
didn't think her identity was that hidden with the makeup. It didn't.
I mean, I don't think I'd recognize her on the street, you know, like and know who she was.
Well, but she was just there, like, a couple hours earlier to do the same thing.
Yeah, the screaming. I mean, the screaming obviously gives it away. But before that, I'm just like, how do you write that? But anyway, I thought that was funny, and I tweeted that. And Jeremy Jordan actually responded to our tweet.
Nice.
At TV Supergirl. He goes, he wasn't looking at her face? Like, that's how he recognized her? Because, like, she screamed?
Yeah, right.
And like... You know, but anyway, that was
also my thought process.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeremy Jordan. Yeah. But it's fun that he responded.
That's
fun.
So, the makeup thing was a little weird, but that's fine. I loved seeing the, comic accurate costume on screen.
Yeah, I agree.
And Supergirl saved a helicopter.
You jumped way ahead. Why are you jumping ahead?
Okay, I'll talk about the helicopter later. Fine.
I don't know what that means.
Well, because Superman always saves helicopters, so it was cool to see her save a helicopter.
Oh, honestly, didn't even occur to me.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't make sense now.
Yeah.
Definitely, now that you've said it. That didn't occur to me.
Interesting.
I think that every time, like, I guess maybe in my mind, like, I must have drawn a line somewhere subconsciously, because otherwise I would be like, Supergirl saved a person like Superman saved a person.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
with the helicopter, you've got the, you've got me, who's got you? And all that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't occur to me.
Interesting.
But if it was there on purpose, cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was or not.
Cool.
It just comes to mind. You know who?
Although she, that, see, now I think that was maybe a little bit more of a draw to Livewire's origin because she gets struck by lightning in the helicopter, remember?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
and so,
you're so
like,
right.
Yeah, because she even says, I hate helicopters.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's more of a draw to that episode than just like Superman saves helicopters.
Good.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point.
So tornado arms and freeze breath working together. Mm-hmm. That was cool. That was it. All right. I'm done now.
I liked seeing the teamwork a lot. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was cool that they didn't need to talk about it and be like, all right, you do this and I'll do that. Like, I always like seeing the superheroes just sort of like team up and
me too.
Use their powers and kind of figure out how to work together. Always fun stuff. Listen, before we move onward, Do you want to
move upward? Sure.
Oh yeah, upward and onward is always. Yeah, skadoosh. That's always fun. But you know, there's a great way to experience these stories aside from just watching the show, and that's reading the comics.
Indeed.
And a great way to read the comics is at InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. Because you can save 42-45%, sometimes even more, at InStockTrades and DCBS. For example, if you want to read a really good Flash story, you know, right now we have the New 52 that's been the, for the last 5 years now, that's been what we've been calling the movement that's been in DC Comics. And while that's coming to an end soon, you can read the volume one, which is like the origin story, or the first story of the Flash in this new continuity. And it's all about Barry Allen coming back and being the Flash, taking on a crime wave in Central City. It's a fun story. And, you can actually pick it up on In Stock Trades. Normally, it'd be $17. You can get it for $9.34 at In Stock Trades. We're talking about almost 200 pages of comics for less than $10. It's less than Amazon has it even. Like
yeah, Amazon you're has saving, it for $10.10.
Yeah, you're saving money. The more you buy from In Stock Trades, the more you're saving, everywhere. And DCBService.com, great place to get your, not just your collected editions, but also your weekly and monthly comics, right? If you get the actual hard copy, comics every single week and every single month, that's a great place to do it. You will save, get them delivered right to your door, which is really, really cool and really convenient to just have like, oh, it's Wednesday. Here's my new comics. I love that. And if you like digital comics, like Tim and I both do, mm-hmm. You could actually save 5% on all those purchases by going through the DCBS, website. Go through it, get to your Comixology or My Digital Comics account, and save 5% back on every future purchase from DCB Service by going through that portal. So you save money no matter how you're buying comics.
Boom. You save money. You love money. It's all good things.
You love money. You love comics. It's great. Everybody wins.
Yeah, everybody wins.
So thank you to InStockTrades. Bada bing. InStockTrades.com and DCBS, DCB Service, Discount Comic Book Service, .com. For sponsoring Supergirl TV Talk.
I realized that my red notebook, I'm exactly halfway. I thought I was before, ooh. But the folio, you can see the folio binding right in the nice. Middle. I'm exactly halfway through.
That's exciting.
It's cool. It's a little flappy book.
Flappy bird book.
This cover is amazingly still in good condition. Resilient, too. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you, unofficial sponsor of Moleskine. yeah. Can we have our money now?
Yeah. That's 30 Rock, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So Barry tells Kara that being a superhero, you have to be prepared for the unexpected. And I thought, A, that was true. Yes.
Also, agreed.
Good. But I thought this is the only time, really, that Kara's ever going to be able to have a conversation with another superhero in her universe. Because she can talk to Clark, mm-hmm. right? That she can talk to Superman off screen or via chat.
Yes.
But in person, this is all she's got. You know, at this moment, he's the only one that gets her on a whole other level.
Yeah, he's like her peer.
Yes, he is. Know? Yeah. And I mean, not to say that James and Wynn aren't her peers in a lot of ways, but they're not superheroes.
They haven't been through what she's been through. Like, they've been there for her. They've been her, you know, been there with her. But Barry has the closest thing to the same experience.
Right. And she's met other people with powers and other aliens and other things, but this is he's the only other person in her life besides her cousin, who she doesn't really see, is the only one that, you know, does what she does on a daily basis for the same reasons that she does it and all this stuff. And I thought that was a nice moment for her to reconnect within herself, even if she didn't know she didn't need that moment.
Yeah.
But it's a nice affirmation.
And that's part of what, I mean, that goes back to their chemistry being so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the actors getting along really well and it's showing on screen, but it's also, that they have, as characters, when they're in character, they have something in common and they're sharing something. And it's like they both have this burden, but they get to, since they both have that, it's like they're sharing the burden. It's a little bit lighter for them. Quick thing I forgot to mention earlier, when they were at the DEO and he was doing the whole like, oh, I want to take a selfie with the ship and all that. He goes like, oh, is there a lab around here? She goes, oh yeah, my sister's lab is back there.
You have a sister? Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Back that up for a second though.
Sure.
Does everybody at the DEO know that Alex is Supergirl's sister? Because now they do.
Oh.
Public interrogations.
Oh.
Talking about your sister in front of the whole DEO.
Oh. I don't know.
They don't.
They've said it out loud.
I don't think so.
Well, Hank and Alex have said it out loud.
Yeah, but this is a little different.
Yeah, I would. It is different.
Those are private conversations. This is like in front of everybody.
It wasn't really in front of everybody. They were in front of the ship, and they were in front of Lucy, who knows. And I think maybe those guards had already kind of gone away. So there were definitely some people there. And yes, that was definitely sloppy. And yes, they definitely should not have said that. But at this point, I think maybe even a lot of people might have guessed. You know what I mean? Yeah.
But I will say, like, Hank always calls her Supergirl in front of other
people, right? That's true. He does not call her
Alex Kara. Calls her Supergirl in front of other
people. That is so true. So even there is a very thin veil, at least, of some form of secrecy.
Exactly.
Oop, yep. That was bad. That was bad because Sloppy. Barry is like, you have a sister? As loud as possible. Yeah. Where are we going?
Cool.
Alex's lab.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Anyway.
Whoopsie. Good catch. Kat uses Wynn's real name. Did you catch that?
She called him Wynn?
Yeah, she called him Wynn. She said, Wynn, do you know where Kara is or something like that? And I was like, what? You know, you didn't call him a weird name?
you know his name, but not Kira's?
Yep, that's right. Oh, yeah, Kira's. Yeah, I don't know why I said Kara. The force of habit. I think I've spent all season forcing myself to call her Kara.
Yeah.
That now I can't call her anything else. Kat gets kidnapped and brought to the park, you know, and they're, you know, doing dozens of dollars of property damage.
Dozens. Yeah. Oh my God.
That lamppost, man. The lamppost. Actually, I actually liked how, like, not how little property damage they were doing, and Kat's just sitting on a bench.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, they're like, we don't care about terrorizing all these people.
I know.
We don't want you. Yeah. We're not.
She's just chilling.
We're not dark. We're not like heartless people. Yeah.
Again, not the, like, it's like the anti-Batman v Superman. Like, what's the least property damage we could possibly do?
That light post.
Light bulb. No.
Yeah. No. It fell over. The light post did fall over, to be fair. That's like,
that's a couple hundred dollars.
That's like
right
$500.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, but I, like,
it was funny.
They're not, we want to kill everyone villains. Mm-hmm. There, I want to kill this very specific person villain.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that. I liked that. I thought every time you saw Supergirl and Flash running together, I thought, or flying together, I was like, wow, comics on TV.
I know,
isn't
right?
That's kind of comics on TV. It was so fun.
It's happening.
Yeah. I got kind of the same feels like when you like the Flash Arrow crossovers or anything like that.
Sure.
But this felt more special to me because they both have logos.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
They have logos and they're, you know, the S shield certainly stands for a lot of things, you know, with the Flash and all that. It was good. It was comic goodness. The whole show was comic
goodness. It was so good to see. And it was so, I mean, like, it was a new, we've never seen anything like that before, you know?
No.
Two shows on two different networks crossing over in that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Super cool.
It was. I loved Barry's line about, like, let's all settle this like women or like ladies. And everyone kind of looks at him. He's like, well, you guys outnumber me. You know, like, just trying to be fair. Yeah. It only makes sense that I reduce myself.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Obviously.
It only makes sense that I change my gender for the purposes of this conversation.
Yes.
And mild threat. Yeah. So, the fight itself between all four of them, I thought Barry got taken out kind of quickly, you know, and Supergirl held her own. But I thought it was very interesting that, you know, Supergirl goes to, you know, save the helicopter, as we called that before. And, you know, she gets very hurt. And it's very much that, you know, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. It's one of those moments.
Yes.
Let's throw tomatoes at the Green Goblin kind of, you know, that kind of moment, you know. Because, as I said before, Livewire and Banshee, they have no interest in hurting these people.
No, they just want to hurt the specific people they want to hurt. That's it.
That's right. And so when I think maybe Livewire is unhinged enough to hurt these people.
Yeah, and to attack
other
people.
Don't get in my way kind of, you know, collateral damage kind of thing. But I liked that they were taken out by the people.
Yeah.
Well, how was Banshee taken out? Livewire was taken out by the firefighters.
By the firefighters, yeah. And he said, like, it was our turn to save you this time.
That's right. Real firefighters? Felt like real firefighters to
me. Yeah, could very well be.
They felt real to me.
Yeah, could very well be. I thought the, that reminded me, you made a reference to Spider-Man 1.
Spider-Man 2, the train?
Yeah, the train.
Yeah.
He was like, he's a kid no older than my son, you know. That's all right. That mm-hmm. reminded me of that, because they like helped her back up and all that stuff.
But, right.
But yeah, I didn't thought about the you missed one of us, you missed all of us. That's true.
Yeah, too. Yeah, that's kind of what it reminded me of. But it's nice that they all stand behind her now.
Yeah,
especially after the rally that Barry had with her. You know,
yeah,
be prepared for everything. Standing. For, you know, like, I had a moment like this too, you know, he tells her, you know, where people didn't trust me and,
right.
you know, all that stuff. And people get over it. As I said, the crowd is fickle.
Yes.
You know, they'll turn against her again. No question. You know, she may have saved us that 20 different times, but now I'm against her for a yeah. reason. But maybe I'll be on her side again one day.
Well, they literally witnessed, they watched her in with their own eyes. They watched her save the helicopter.
That's right.
Like, oh, wow. Okay. She's on our side.
I did like, they were like, she saved all of us. I'm like, pretty sure she just saved the helicopter.
Yeah.
yeah. You know, like, you were nowhere near that helicopter, nor were you.
You were going to be fine.
Yeah.
You weren't even close to the light post. You were fine.
In fact, if that helicopter even blew up, I'm sure you actually still would have been fine.
You've been like, wow, that was terrible.
But you know, whatever does it for yeah. you. Whatever.
But the idea that they literally witness her, like, it's one thing to like see on TV that like, okay, she's doing some good stuff, but then to actually see with it with your own eyes that she committed, you know, acts of kindness, whatever. It's yeah, like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Maybe she's fine.
Yeah, agreed. Because saving people at super speed isn't the same, I think, as everyone witnessing the crowd.
Yeah.
Though I did think it was, I mean, it all made sense as to, you know, why the crowd was there. But mm-hmm. like, if villains are fighting in the park, like, why standing there?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, run away.
Get away, guys.
Run away.
People,
yeah.
What is wrong with you?
I know. It's like, you could be hit by a light post. Or something.
You could get frozen tornadoed.
You know, I sound like I'm making fun of that they only destroyed one light post. Yeah. But I do, in fact, like, I like that because it showed a lot about the characters. But yeah. I just think it's still funny.
It's funny, yeah.
It's a good joke.
I enjoy it.
Thank you. I still don't know how Silver Banshee was taken out. I can't remember.
Oh, you know, I can't remember.
Something to do
either.
With Barry.
Yeah.
Because they created those little, he remade those little earplug things
right.
that he had on it, that they used on his own Earth. And so it was real nice to adapt that technology. See him being a scientist, because that's fun. Because sometimes we forget on his own show, because Sisko creates so much of it,
yeah.
that Barry's, in fact, a brilliant man himself.
Yes.
And it kind of lets Sisko do a lot of the work, but it's fun that he gets, that he got to be the person to do that.
Yeah,
this
time. Sisko is like his personal R&D lab, you know?
Right.
But he's a CSI. He's a scientist himself.
Yeah, he says like that on the yeah. show, too. You know, I save people during the day and at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
mm-hmm.
just what I do. I like that he also helps the National City, that they can lock up metahumans. Now, it's very offhanded comment, but, oh, she's at National City Penitentiary or whatever, because, you know, she can lock up.
Yeah.
Barry gave them stuff that they can lock up criminals now. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because there will be less open doors during interrogations at the DEO.
We'll see about that. But yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe that's a clue as to what's going to happen to the DEO. Maybe
Ooh.
It's going to go. Maybe it's going away.
Maybe.
That would be interesting, would it not?
Interesting.
Yeah. Who knows?
There's a myriad of things that could happen.
Ooh. Whoa. Before we get there, let's talk about the little race that they have to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a cool way to like, okay, how are we going to get him back, but also how are we going to work a race into this guy?
Yeah, it was kind of a race, but not really. It felt more like a Cannonball special. Cannonball special, for people don't know, is in X-Men when Colossus throws Wolverine, because Wolverine is traditionally like 5'3 or 5'4 and kind of crunches up in a ball. And
not Hugh Jackman size.
No, not Hugh Jackman size, but he usually crunches up and throws him as Wolverine goes and attacks something like a Sentinel or something like that. But it's a Cannonball special. So it kind of reminded me of that.
That is
it's
funny,
a little
yeah.
Cannonball special, you know, throw me. And he goes back and he runs back, and that was a lot of fun. But when he left, I was like, oh, bye, Barry. Like,
I know.
I was like, come back to us.
Can you keep
on
for, like,
Supergirl.
One more episode? Can we get a two-parter?
Yeah. It was just, this episode was so much fun.
It was maybe the most fun episode of the whole season.
I think so.
It was so much fun.
And
I really loved it.
And I think that's because we've also seen a few episodes that have been in this television show dour. Maybe in comparison to something like Daredevil, it was still a light romp.
Right.
But
right, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, there have been darker episodes
there,
for sure.
Darker episodes, you know, with the death of Astra and, you know, this origin story of Hank and, you know, Alex and all this stuff that's happened. This was definitely like a little breather before the final two episodes where a lot of big stuff is going to happen.
Which you kind of predicted last week. You said at the end of the episode, like, I bet this is going to be the last, you know, last hurrah, the last like really upbeat episode. The
last jolly, jolly good time.
Mm-hmm. Until we, before we head into the finale, you know, a two-part finale, whether it's actually a two-parter or just two episodes that, that set it up. Like,
Yeah.
So, yeah, you called that. That was a good call.
Yeah, well, I try. You know, I call things like Kara is awkward with her love life, you know, because even when she was, even when Barry was like, oh, what about James? She's like, no, it's fine. You know, like, pull yourself together, woman. Yeah. You're a girl of steel.
Yeah.
And you're the Scarlet Speedster.
I love that they called each other that. That was so great.
Okay, so after Barry leaves, sadly,
bye, Scarlet Speedster. Yeah. We'll miss you forever.
Yeah. Even though we're going to watch you on your show tonight.
I know.
It's just like, it felt like a real sad departure. Yeah.
I hope we can do it again next season.
I would love to also see her go there now that he has come to us.
Yes.
I would like that there to be a play there. Just to get her off. I don't know how they would do it. But that's not my job. That's their job. I mean, I'm sure I could come up with a reason. You know, sure. I'm real good at headcanon.
Oh, yeah.
So, and so they go off, and Kara invites James over. And she just, you know, he opens it, and she's like, oh, hey, I'm just listening to this sexy music.
Yeah.
Come on in. Because did you hear the music in the background?
Yeah.
It had like Netflix and chill written all over it. Why are we listening to music over Netflix? This seems rather. Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Just chill.
Just chill. Got it. Yeah. Good. Just Joe chill. Got it. So Kara makes a really awkward love metaphor. You know, like, you know, we're like vibrating earths, and I'm like, good for you. This is not going to end well for you, Kara. And so
we're like vibrating earths. Do you want to pull into my dock? That's
right.
What Kat said.
No. Right. Yeah. No.
What?
Cupcake. Yeah. So they kiss, and during their kiss, I thought, wow, that kiss has no chemistry.
Yeah. I know. I was like, wow.
Wow. That is a letdown.
That is a passionless kiss.
Passionless. And then we realize that Myriad has hit and it is. Kind of what we thought. Zombie, you know, controlled.
Yeah,
you know,
mind control.
They have no... They're going somewhere. We don't know where they're going. And it doesn't affect Kryptonians, which is why Kara is unaffected.
Right.
And that is where we... That's kind of where we leave off with her.
I loved seeing her be like, was it good? Was it bad?
Was it...
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Was it great? Like, I love there was like a, you're so quiet because I'm that good?
Yeah.
Hopeful? No. Oh, you're under my control. All right, well, that's better than...
All right.
That's better because it was bad.
Yeah.
If I was her, I'd be like, well, I'm kind of relieved.
Yeah.
At least we can do this part again, you know?
No, I'll get a second first kiss.
Right. Yes, exactly. So I was watching with Palmer, and he was like, my first thought was that she wiped his mind. Yeah.
Superman 2
kiss.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought that maybe he wasn't really James, that maybe he was really...
It was Hank, no.
Indigo or something. Like,
oh,
you know?
Yeah, because she was in the preview.
Yeah.
And so I thought she was going to make her return at the end of this episode. I don't know. Yeah.
It's cool.
Not preview. Recap.
The recap at the beginning. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Those are two actual very opposite things.
Yes, they are. That's true.
And so we jump to Non and all this, you know, and we have started Myriad, and, you know, Astra's vision for this planet will come to fruition. And first National City, then the world. Because there are no other states or countries.
Nope.
You can skip from one city in one country all the way to the rest of the world. And I get it. I understand. It's a very classic line. You know, first this and then the world. You know, even when I was a little kid, I've had a problem with this line. Because
like, why wouldn't you go like state and then country and then continent?
Right.
And then like
just like logically
like hemisphere.
Have you never played Risk?
Well,
you know, this like, is how, well, maybe they haven't, but you know.
You know what? It's all nonsense.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my line and using it effectively, unlike when I use it. For nonsense.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add about the rest of this episode before we get on to other bits?
No, I mean, just that it was overall, I mean, it was just so much fun. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. And it was my favorite episode of the season.
I think it was my favorite episode too. And I don't know if that necessarily actually has to do with the fact that it was the Flash on. I think it was just the added, I think it was added chemistry, certainly, but I loved the break in tone from what we had been getting for a little while, just because that's where the story was going, not because it was bad, just because that's, you know, it was a lighthearted moment in a sea of a potential Supergirl darkness.
Yeah, these last, like, you know, well, yeah,
the Red K episode is certainly not, like, sure, something to, like, you know, roll your jollies at or whatever.
Well, sure, but, like, just because it wasn't a happy episode doesn't mean it was a great episode. I loved it.
Right.
I loved it. But it's just, like, it's nice to get, like, an upper before more downers.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. I liked Batman v Superman, but it was an antithesis to what I had watched on screen in a lot of ways. Sure. It was the superheroes teaming up as opposed to superheroes fighting. And while I enjoy both in their own setting, I like, just like, oh, you're... You had a regular conversation where you realized you were both good people and everyone was happy. Good job. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. What is your Cat Grant code of the week?
I think since neither of us brought this up during the scene where it happened, I think we probably have the same one this week. But my Cat Grant quote of the week was, "You look like the attractive yet non-threatening racially diverse cast of a CW show."
Mm-hmm. I love a meta joke. Meta fiction is my thing.
Oh my God, it was so good.
It was perfect.
I was like, I couldn't believe it was happening as it was happening. And I want to say, she did not break the fourth wall. She broke the source wall.
Oh.
Crisis.
Because the thing.
Because multiverse and crisis.
Because you're a nerd.
Ah.
Comics are for nerds. What are you doing watching this show? Supergirl saying nerd things.
Oh, man.
You're funny. I had, like I said,
she had a bunch.
She had a lot of stuff.
Was that your quote as well?
That was absolutely my quote. I danced around that like you wouldn't believe in that scene. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
I mean, she had other great ones. She had, you know, "I told you to tell Bernie Sanders I'm not interested in hot yoga."
Yes.
Which was disturbing. You know, and stuff like that. But just, again, I love when shows call themselves out for things, or when networks call themselves out for things. Like, The Simpsons was really great at that. They used to make fun, sometimes still do, make fun of Fox, like, horrendously.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's something like you'd see on Fox, turn to camera stare. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, we quoted 30 Rock a couple of times in this thing, and 30 Rock they also did with NBC all the time.
All the time.
The show took place on NBC.
Yes.
On NBC. Yeah. It's just like... Layers. So many onions.
Layers. Onions.
Onions. Onion layers. It's back.
It's back.
The thing nobody asked to return is back.
Nope. Nobody wanted it, but it's back.
But it's back.
You're welcome, America.
You're very, very welcome. Well, you can find us at all the places because there is no Supergirl next week. We have 1 week off to ramp up our energy for the next two episodes of season one.
That's right. Yeah.
The last two.
So, yeah, we're going to take a week off next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks. But until then, you can find us on Twitter at TV Supergirl. You can find us on the internet at SupergirlTVTalk.com or at gmail.com. You can also... find us on iTunes, Supergirl TV Talk, right? And you can also find us on Overcast and on Satchel Player. And anywhere that good podcasts are found, we will be there. But we'll be back.
And not square.
And not there and not square, because that's how we are. But yeah, thanks so much for listening. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Say goodbye to the people, Tim.
Goodbye.
Up, up, and away.